Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Text 26. Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shibi, Edamana, Mada, Kuman, Na, Eva, Ahati, Abhidatum, Vai, Tvam, Akinchana Gocharam, Janmaishvaya Shuta Shibir, Edamana Mada Puman, Naiva Hatya Bidatum Vai, Tvam Akinchana Gocharam, Janmaishvaya Shuta Shibir, Idamana Madapuman Naiva Hatya Pidatum Vai Tvamma Kinchana Gocharam Janmaishvaya Shuta Shibir Idamana Madapuman Naiva Hatya Pidatum Vai Tvamma Kinchana Gocharam Ladies. Janma, birth, Aishwarya, opulence, Shuta, education, Shibi, by possession of beauty, Edamana, progressively increasing, Mada, intoxication, Puman, the human being, Na, never. Eva, ever. Arhati, deserves. Abhidatum, to address in feeling. Vai, certainly. Tvam, you. Akinchana gocharam, one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man. Translation, my Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family, and possessing great wealth, an education, and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by one's uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. Depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress in the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Om Jnanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Bukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Mangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taraham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastacha Desatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I was asked to select a verse which was relevant to the occasion which many of the devotees are taking part in, which is the Kirtan Mela. And therefore, I chose to speak on this very wonderful verse spoken by Queen Kunti. And I thank the devotees for giving me the opportunity for rendering this service to all of you. I pray for your blessings that I may say something which is actually relevant, especially in relationship to such a profound verse and commentary which has been given by Srila Prabhupada, specifically about the holy name. Srila Prabhupada brings out the point, important point, in the commentary about this verse, that there are different ways to chant the name. He specifically states that those who are aspiring for or to improve themselves materially are those who are materially satisfied. They cannot call out the names O Govinda, O Keshava, O Madhava in a helpless mood, feelingly. Therefore, he makes a distinction between the chanting of the name which is executed or performed by those who are materially satisfied and or trying to improve themselves materially, and those who have the quality which is described by Queen Kunti in this verse, which is that those who are materially exhausted, who no longer see any need to pursue such mundane pursuits, and therefore because they have no interest in this world, they are callingly and feeling out the name of Krishna. And that quality of feelingly chanting Krishna's name, of course, is that which attracts the Supreme Lord by the qualities the devotee has in his chanting. First point, of course, which is important to take note of, and Prabhupada says that those who are intoxicated by wealth, janma, aishvaya, shuta, shibi, intoxicated by these things, they're generally proud of their wealth. And therefore such proud persons, they also cannot call out the name feelingly. There is a verse in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Shiva to Sati, where he describes that although the six qualities of education, austerity, wealth, youth, beauty, and heritage, they are for the highly elevated, that one who is proud of possessing such things, they lose all good sense, and the result is to become blind. And they cannot appreciate the qualities of great personalities. Lord Shiva was speaking this point to Sati, trying to explain to her a good reason for not attending the Daksha Yajna. He was trying to explain to her that the result of those who are proud, puffed up by these six qualities, wealth, austerity, aristocracy, heritage, youth, and beauty, they lose all good sense. They can't really deeply appreciate the Lord, and they cannot actually approach the Lord, and they lose all good sense. They can't approach the Lord feelingly, which is the point that Prabhupada is making in the purport. This is one of the results of pride, which arises from possession of these things. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that sometimes when we read this verse, immediately a person thinks, well, if I give away all these things and I don't have them, then automatically I'm spiritually qualified. But that's not the criteria. And we're going to actually discuss some of these points if there's sufficient time. There's another verse, also in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Narada Muni. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions and who are fully satisfied in possessing only one thing, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of these devotees. He takes great pleasure in their activities. He gives his attention to these devotees who are hankering not for improve themselves, for bodily beauty, respectable parentage. Well, he actually relishes those devotees who are only interested to possess service, devotional service to Krishna. And then Narada Muni goes on to explain that those who are puffed up by their wealth, their aristocracy, by their beauty, they're generally proud of possessing such things, and therefore they will oftentimes deride genuine devotees of the Lord. And then Narada Muni says something very profound. He says, even if such persons offer worship to the Lord will never accept it. Not inclined. He's not inclined to accept their worship. Due to their pride, they can't appreciate great personalities. They deride or they cannot recognize those devotees who manifest genuine humility, who are genuinely crying out for Krishna's name. Like, there are so many examples we can find in Shastra. It happened to Haridas Thakur when he manifested ecstatic symptoms by hearing the Krishna's name being chanted. And then one proud Brahmin thought that he would, when he saw all the attention people gave to Haridas Thakur, they were offering respect to him as he fell on the ground. He lost external consciousness. Then the one proud Brahmin was thinking, why is he getting so much attention? And the result is that he was thinking, I'll try to steal the attention away. He fell on the ground, started crying out, Krishna, Krishna, manifesting ecstatic symptoms. And then the snakebite physician, who was chanting the mantras, immediately started beating him with a stick. He ran away. Hi! Goodness, ran away in complete fear. And everybody asked him, well, why did you do that? And the snakebite physician couldn't even understand. Because he's proud. Haridas Thakur, when he saw what was happening, and he woke up from his external consciousness, he was feeling embarrassed what had happened, and he tried to immediately slip away and avoid any recognition of the manifestation of the symptoms that were there. But this proud Brahmin could not recognize such qualities, and therefore he was thinking, oh, let me get attention. And therefore the snakebite physician could understand and began beating him. And he began to explain this to all the people. Then when they asked him, why did you do this? Why is it that Haridas Thakur fell down? And then when this Brahmin, elevated Brahmin fell down, you beat him. And he began extolling the virtues of Haridas Thakur, glorifying Haridas Thakur. His qualities were total humility. Total humility. Total dependence, incessant chanting of the holy names of the Lord, crying out, not wanting to improve him anything about his own material situation, and even thinking himself unqualified. He wouldn't even think about even entering the Jagannath temple, and he would stay at a distance. He thought himself to be lowest of the low. That is what attracts the Lord. If we want the Lord to manifest and to actually become attracted, to give attention to our chanting, then it's these feelings, which will actually make the Lord manifest in His name and enter into our hearts and purify us. And the Lord will come forward and lift us up and help us, as He did when Haridas Thakur, He saw Haridas Thakur when He came to Jagannath Puri. All the devotees came to receive the Lord, and then off at a distance, Haridas Thakur was keeping a distance, offering his obeisances. And Lord Chaitanya was looking, where is Haridas? And then he said, oh, there's Haridas. Off at a distance, thinking himself unqualified. And what did he do? The Lord went over to Haridas Thakur. He reached down, lifted him up, and embraced him. This is what actually makes the Lord inclined to his devotee when he chants feelingly for the Lord. But proud persons, they can't chant feelingly, and they can't recognize those who actually do chant with feeling. Those who do actually experience genuine. And those who do genuinely experience, they're not looking for any recognition. They don't even think they're Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. He says that if I think I'm a Vaishnava, then what happens is then I'll begin to look for respect from others. And when my heart becomes completely polluted by the desire for respect and fame, surely I will go to hell. Dhurya doesn't even think he's a Vaishnava. These qualities, he's not thinking that he's satisfied, or nor is he thinking that I'm advanced, but he's actually feelingly. I was reading recently, Prabhupada was saying in one lecture, the mood of the devotee, and which was taught by Lord Chaitanya, taught by the six Goswamis, he was never thinking that I've seen Krishna, I'm experiencing Krishna. They were, hey Rad, hey Vajadevi, Kichalilite. They were always thinking, I can't find. Where is Radha? Where's Krishna? Where are the devotees? I am not qualified. But and Lord Chaitanya said himself, he said, and Prabhupada was saying in this lecture, he says, how can you anyone say I have love for Krishna? He says, actually, I have no love for Krishna. I'm just doing this simply for some cheap attraction to others. If I had actually love for Krishna, then how could I actually stay? Then how could I actually stay and live in this body? How could I actually have love? The Lord was feeling this way. To teach by His example. This is feelingly calling out. Not in so-called material satisfaction, nor so-called material satisfaction, nor so-called thinking that I'm an advanced Vaishnava, but feelingly means that one is calling out, hanging out, hankering. The quality is that of hankering for the Lord. And Prabhupada brings up an important point here in the commentary, one which I may not have adequate time to elaborate on, but I'll try to address it briefly. He brings up the point that it is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. I think the verse was quoted the other day by Shiva Maharaj, Madhura Madhuram, Etan, Mangala Mangalana. He was quoting the verse that says that the holy name of the Lord is always auspicious, the holy name of the Lord is always sweet, this is the ripened fruit on the Vedic literatures. And if anyone simply once chants the holy name of the Lord, whether with complete faith or even indifference, certainly he can get relief from material bondage. Even once chanting. Such is the power of the holy name of the Lord. So someone may say, well, if I even just once chant the holy name of the Lord in this way, then I can get relieved from all my reactions I may have to get from becoming materially wealthy or being proud, or as I may get relieved from all the distresses that may come as a result of my material attachments by once chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But actually, this point is very nicely explained by Kaviraj Goswami in discussion again about Harnamachaya, Haridas Thakur. When one time Haridas Thakur was invited by Balaramachaya to the home of Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya, Majumdar, Govardhan was the father of Raghunath Das, as we know. And Balaramachaya, the family priest, was very eager to bring Haridas Thakur to that assembly. And when Haridas Thakur appeared in the assembly, then immediately all of them began discussing, because they heard, they knew that Haridas Thakur was chanting 300,000 names daily of the holy name of the Lord. So they immediately started talking about the glories of the holy name. And of course, as Bhaktivinod Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma, he says that Govardhan Majumdar, he was actually Vaishnava Praya. He wasn't a pure Vaishnava. He wasn't a pure Vaishnava because he still had some attachment. Actually, Bhaktivinod Thakur says, Lord Chaitanya himself considers Govardhan Majumdar of Vaishnava Praya. He is still chanting on the platform of Namabhas. And therefore, because he was Vaishnava Praya and all those who assembled, when they began describing the glories of the holy name of the Lord, what did they start talking about? They said, glories of the holy name of the Lord is that one can get relief from all sinful activities. The glories of the holy name of the Lord is that one can get liberation from the material world. And then when Haridas Thakur heard them speaking this way, they're saying, what are you saying? Don't you know that to get relief from material suffering, to get relief from sinful reactions, to get liberation from... These are secondary. Don't you know the true glory of the holy name of the Lord? The true glory of the holy name of the Lord is that when one chants the holy name of the Lord, he manifests, the true result is ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He becomes deeply attached to the Lord and to rendering service of the Lord. That is the true glory. And then he began to explain that relief from sinful reactions and liberation from the material world, these are two concomitant byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. But they're not the real essence, the true purpose of chanting. And he said this can be understood simply by the appearance of the gleam of the sunshine. And then he quoted one verse that as the rising sun dissipates the darkness of this world, which is deep like an ocean. Similarly, by one's chanting the name of the Lord without offenses, it immediately dissipates all the reactions of sinful life. This is the true auspiciousness. Such is the nature of the auspicious holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious for everyone in this world. And then Haridas Thakur explained that actually liberation from matter and relief from sinful reactions, these actually appear even on the Namabhasa stage. Even when there's a slight glimpse of the holy name of the Lord on Namabhasa. And then when he quoted this verse, he told everybody, now, please, can you explain this verse, okay? What does this mean? And then everybody said, well, we can't explain it. But you'll have to explain it to us. They couldn't understand. Why? Because they thought the glory of the holy name was liberation. They thought the glory of the holy name was, I won't have to suffer reactions, material reactions. But that's not the true glory. The true glory, as Haridas Thakur went on to explain, is that, and he gave the example, he says, just like when the sun appears in the first glimpse of the sun in the morning, and then the result is all the fear of the demons and the ghosts and dacoits, they all go away. Simply by the first appearance of the sun. But when the sun is fixed in the sky, then everybody can go about all their religious duties during the day. Actually, whenever I think of this, I oftentimes think, I reflect, I don't know, I don't want to digress, but I remember in the old days when we used to come to Mayapur, back in the 70s, we're always told, never leave in the middle of the night. Wait until the first rising of the sun. Because at that time in the 70s, sometimes there was a problem at the railroad crossing. And devotees would leave in the middle of the night, and sometimes because you couldn't see anything, the dacoits would be there and they would stop at the railroad crossing. So we'd wait for the first glimpse of the sunlight before leaving. So it's similarly that Haridas Thakur is using this analogy. When the first glimpse of the sun appears, then fear goes away. Yeah, I have no fear. There's no fear. There'll be no reactions to sinful life. But that is at the first appearance of the sun. When the holy name is fully manifest, when one chants without offense, when one chants feelingly with a desire to serve Krishna, and is always hankering for Krishna, the result is that just as the person can go about his daily duties, in the same way the devotee engages fully in devotional service to the Lord. And the Lord is very much attracted by such chanting. So therefore, Haridas Thakur even explained that even the devotee never even aspires for liberation. Salokya, Samipya, Sashti, they all may be offered to the devotee, but the devotee, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, he says, devotee's only interested in service to me. That's all he hankers for. That is his desire. He simply hankers for service. He doesn't think, I am serving, or I am so much service I'm doing. He always thinks, I can't do enough service. I don't have any love for Krishna. I'm not qualified for Krishna's mercy. But even though I'm not qualified for Krishna's mercy, I'll never give up chanting. I'll never give up chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Sri Bhakti Loka that is the qualification of a devotee. He's patient. He says that the karmis, the jnanis, and the bhaktas, they all desire some result. The karmis, they want some fruitive gain. The jnanis, they want relief from distress. They want liberation. And the bhaktas, The bhaktas want Krishna's pleasure. That is the mercy they aspire for. He says, therefore, the bhakta who wants Krishna's pleasure, he must be patient. And he says, patience means that I will go on chanting Krishna's name. I will go on serving Krishna. I will someday get his mercy. Whether it's now, 10 years from now, 100 births from now, I'll never give up chanting. When a devotee actually chants in this mood, the desire to please the Lord, knowing that someday I will get this mercy, even though I'm unqualified for this mercy, he can chant feelingly. He can't chant feeling satisfied I've done enough. He never thinks I've done enough. He never thinks, I'm a Vaishnava. I'm simply aspiring to become a Vaishnava. He never thinks, like even just recently I was reading one's pastime about Mukunda. Kandavas, Mukunda, who was a Vaidya, who was a physician. And one day he was sitting and he was giving a prescription to the king, Muhammadan king. And then what happened is that the servant came in to offer a fan to the king, and he saw the peacock feather. And when he saw the peacock feather in the fan, he fell off the chair in ecstasy, because immediately he thought of Krishna, and he fell on the ground and he lost consciousness. And the king, he was thinking, what has happened? Has he left his body? Has he died? And he went and he began sprinkling water on his face, trying to bring him to consciousness. And he asked him, what happened? And what did Mukunda say? I have this tendency for epilepsy. And he immediately dismissed it. He wouldn't say exactly what it was. He didn't want to be recognized. He says, I have this tendency sometimes. I have these epileptic, and asked his forgiveness. But immediately the king could understand and appreciate and recognize the qualities. And this is the quality of a devotee. He never thinks, just see how ecstatic I am. Just see tears coming from my eyes. This is not false tears won't get Krishna. Tears may manifest, but even when a devotee manifests tears, he tries to hide them. Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada once manifested tears in class. He tried to hide them. Doesn't want to show them. He thinks that if other people think I'm a Vaishnava, then I'll immediately think I want respect. And if the desire of respect and fame is in my heart, surely I'll go to hell. So a Vaishnava never thinks this way. He never chants for recognition. Chants feelingly. Neither does he chant for relief from suffering. Because he knows relief from suffering, this is insignificant in comparison to the opportunity to serve. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakaliya shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama, the devotee of Lord Krishna, he has no material desires. Therefore he can be peaceful. Bhukti, those who desire material wealth. Mukti, those who want relief from suffering. Siddhis, those who want mystic yoga perfections. They're still kami. They're still filled with lusty desires. They cannot be peaceful. Prabhupada would many times quote the verse, bhukti mukti spiha yavat pisachi hiri vartate. That these two desires of bhukti and mukti, they're like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. As long as these desires are there within the heart, one will never be able to understand what is pure devotional service. Never. It will always remain a mystery. Therefore, devotees are always very eager when they chant, they're hankering for pure devotional service. That is what they aspire for. They're not aspiring for wealth, not aspiring for high education, not aspiring for bodily beauty. They know they're exhausted. They know there's nothing to be obtained by these things. They're looking for pure devotional service. And therefore, because they're always eager, hankering for the opportunity to obtain your devotional service, and are also eager to hear the glories of pure devotional service. Right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Haridas Thakur, we always use the example of Haridas Thakur, he's our Namacharya. When he heard Rupa Goswami recite the verse about how much nectar is there in the two syllables, Krishna. When he heard that verse that Rupa Goswami composed, he immediately fell down in ecstasy. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that this is the nature of a devotee. He said one has to learn about the truth and the beauty and the true position of the Lord's holy names by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. This is where you can taste sweetness in Krishna's names. One has to hear the glories of pure devotional service. And I'll end with one verse which has really captured my attention lately. It's a wonderful verse spoken in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. I quote it many times because I really can relate. It's relevant to me because this verse also gives me hope. And this verse explains, it's spoken by Narada Muni to Vasudev. When Vasudev was asking about how to become free from fear, he wanted to hear about devotional service, pure devotional service. And Narada Muni was very pleased at his inquiry. And he said that pure devotional service is so transcendentally, rendered to the Supreme Lord, is so transcendentally potent that even by hearing about such servants, even by glorifying such service in response, even by meditating on it, even by faithfully and respectfully accepting that it exists, and even by praising the service that is rendered by others, then even a person who hates the demigods and all living beings in the whole universe can immediately be purified. Such is the power of hearing the glories of pure devotional service. Such is the power of hearing the glories of the pure holy name. This should actually awaken within the heart that even though I don't have pure devotional service, even though I can't, it could be lifetimes, hundreds of lifetimes before I can achieve, but still I can glorify it. Still I can hear about it from others, glorify it. Still I can meditate on it. I can respectfully and faithfully accept that it exists. Yes, it does exist. Look at all the examples in Bhagavatam. Look at all the devotees who chant with such enthusiasm, with such sincerity, with their heart, feelingly. And look at how the Lord is so much attracted to them and how they make advancement in spiritual life. I can praise the service of others. It gives me hope. This gives me hope. And therefore, even a person who hates the demigods and all living beings can become purified by the glories of pure devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada, in his commentary to this verse, he's making a distinction between those who chant with some material satisfaction, puffed up. Occasionally, he also says, they may occasionally chant. And those who feelingly chant, O Krishna, O Govinda. This should be the aspiration of a devotee when he chants. And this should be the mood of the kirtaniyas and the kirtaniyas. Kirtaniyis, or what to call them. Those who are chanting together. Chanting with feeling. Calling out, Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna. Surely, they will actually be able to obtain the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. I think I've covered the amount of time allotted to me, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak. Hare Krishna. I have 5 minutes. It says right here, I'm over by 10 minutes. what to do. Hare Krishna. I think I better quit while I'm ahead, I guess, as the saying goes. I'm only 10 minutes over. Don't make me 15. Hare Krishna.